This is a Source Web Extra, part of Texas Public Radio's expanded COVID-19 coverage. I'm David Martin Davies. Many people have questions about the spread of coronavirus and how to better protect ourselves. For answers, we reached out to Dr. Ruth Berggren, the director of UT Health's Center for Medical Humanities and Ethics and Bexar County's new medical advisor. We've got voicemails, people asking a lot of questions, very concerned about what's happening with COVID-19. And so, Dr. Berggren, thank you for your time. And I'm going to play the first one. This is from Gary.
Hello, my name is Gary. The question that has not really been bluntly answered, straightforward, no beating around the bush, if somebody has had the virus and they get over the virus, we've heard and we understand they can get reinfected. However, if they have carried the virus, get over the virus, are they still carriers of the virus and spreaders?
That's a great question, and I want to preface everything by saying we're learning a lot about the virus. Something that's been concerning all of us is reports that people who from China who tested negative then had delayed repeat testing and were found to be positive again in their nasopharynx, and those people were put back in quarantine out of an abundance of caution. What we don't know is whether those people simply have residual RNA from the virus that's just lingering around and it's not actually infectious to others, or maybe whether they've become colonized when they went back out into the world. There hasn't been any definitive evidence that those people are infectious. And I personally feel very good about the guidelines that we have. The guideline is if you're sick with known or presumed COVID, you must isolate yourself for 7 days. And in addition, you must have had 3 consecutive days of no fever at all before it's safe for you to go back out into the community. Now, we are recommending that if people meet those criteria and they're still coughing, which could happen, coughs can linger for weeks no matter what the underlying cause was. If that's the case, those people should be putting masks on when they go out into the public.
Those masks, we're hearing lots of different things about masks right now. What do you recommend?
Well, the medical grade masks, N95s, should certainly be conserved for people that are on the front lines of delivering health care. And there have been very real, very serious shortages of that kind of mask in healthcare facilities all over the country. We're working really hard on that at our hospitals here in San Antonio. Now, the procedure mask or the surgical mask, which does not exclude as much of the viral particles as the N95 does, is also in short supply, but also available to members of the public. And I think that anybody who's got a family member who is known to have COVID ought to have some of that kind of mask, and failing that, they can use a cloth mask, or even failing that, they can use a bandana. And there's even information about this on the CDC website. That will not be as protective as an N95, but it will certainly help people not touch their faces, and it could block some of the larger respiratory droplets from getting onto someone else's mouth or nose.
The voicemail from Calvin.
Hi, this is Calvin. Here in San Antonio, we're coming into the summer season where we have lots of mosquitoes. Can the coronavirus be transferred by mosquitoes from human to human?
So a lot of people have been wondering about that, and I can understand that that might cause a lot of anxiety. There's no evidence of mosquito-borne transmission of coronavirus, certainly not for this virus. And we do have historical information about other coronaviruses, including SARS and MERS, and there has not been evidence that that's how that coronaviruses in general are transmitted.
From Patricia, voicemail.
I was wondering about taking antihistamines for seasonal allergies. We're in the middle of oak season. There's a lot of oak pollen. But I understand that if I use an antihistamine, it may dry up my mucous membranes. Would that make me more susceptible to catching a virus?
No, we don't have any guidelines for people to stop using their antihistamines. In fact, I think you should stay on your antihistamine if you've been instructed to use it, because that will decrease your risk of coughing. So keep yourself healthy. Antihistamines are also important for decreasing inflammation in your respiratory tract. And that's, of course, a good thing if you're worried about the virus. The people who get really, really sick with it and get into big trouble are the ones that have a very hyperactive inflammatory response to it.
Also, Dr. Berggren, we have an email from Elise. Are officials defining what safe again will be? Will there have to be no new cases or active cases for a certain number of weeks or months? Is success keeping this under a certain percentage of the population perpetually?
So let's take the first part of that question. Historically, you want to look at the incubation period of an infectious disease that's causing an epidemic or a pandemic. And in this case, we have a 14-day incubation period. So you would expect that if a community has gone for 14 days with no new cases, that you're starting to come out of the woods. However, during that 14 days of no new cases, there could be cases that were undetected. So the standard is 2 incubation periods. Now, that is my telling you information based on other viruses and history and general guidelines, and we are still learning a lot about this virus, and of course, we need to rely on our CDC and our Metro Health departments to help us make those decisions when the time comes to make them.
So right now, doctors, nurses, other public health professionals, they're witnessing a tragedy. How do these events reflect against questions of meaning?
Well, thank you so much for that question. We have an initiative that we're putting forth through the Center for Medical Humanities and Ethics at the Long School of Medicine, and we're calling it PANPALS, P-A-N-P-A-L-S. PAN is short for pandemic. And we are setting up a website with a blog and a place for interaction and a site where there will be recurring webinars. And we're doing this in order to respond to the moral needs of our community during the COVID-19 pandemic. And our goal with this, Dave, is to preserve humanitarian values, compassion, and justice throughout this pandemic and beyond. We know that so many people are suffering right now, but we believe that crisis and upheaval can also generate positive and hopeful change. And history has shown us this. The Black Plague of the 14th century was followed by the Renaissance. So we're going to be using all the wonderful tools of the medical humanities, as well as allied fields such as public health, mindfulness, and bioethics, to really help our community explore important questions of morality as well as meaning that are raised by the pandemic.
Dr. Ruth Berggren, thank you for your time. We'll be talking to you again next week. Dr. Ruth Berggren is the director of UT Health's Center for Medical Humanities and Ethics, and she's the Bexar County new medical advisor. If you have questions for Dr. Berggren, call our voicemail line 210-615-8982. In San Antonio, David Martin Davies, Texas Public Radio News.